afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Friday, March 3rd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, a little bit of pressure in gold for the past couple of days, but it looks like those days might be behind us. Gold has been fighting its way back all day long. We're currently looking in the New York spot price after market up almost a buck at $1,235.80. Silver return to 1803, up 21 cents. Platinum was up $10 today at 1,000. And palladium was up 7 at 777. The USDX today was down 0.73 at 101.42. And crude oil was up 53 at 53.14. And the paper markets today, there was a little pressure on them earlier in the day, nothing big. Basically, you know, unchanged. The Dow up a point, the S&P up a point, and the NASDAQ up 10 points. So you have the Dow at 21,005. You have the NASDAQ at 5,870. And you have the S&P at 2383. The 10-year yield just doesn't want to go over that 2.5% for very long, at 2.49%. And, of course, the euro climbed on the dollar's fall at 106. Up, isn't that interesting? The euro is up 1.06, and it is valued at 1.06. So, is that a typo? Don't know. But, hey, it was up today, and the dollar was down, so we'll take it at that. Well, there's a lot going on now, but first, I do want to make my special here, because it's a terrific special. And this is if you're looking for 100 or more ounces of American Gold Eagles for today, and today only, I can do them at $36 over spot for American Gold Eagles. And I'm talking BUs, I'm not talking beat up crap with holes and stuff in it. BUs, American 1 ounce Gold Eagles, $36 over spot. I also have, and these are 100 Canadian maple leaves. They're $25 over spot. And I don't think you can find the prices on these for these coins anywhere. I can't even remember the last time I was able to sell them at $36 over spot for American Gold Eagles. Usually you're looking at $55, $65 over spot. And also the Mint State 63, $20 gold piece. I can carry those, and you don't have to get 100 of these, but I have them, and that special from yesterday was $1,320 for the Mint State 63 St. Gaudens. So some terrific buys right there, folks. And those $20 Saints, even at the reduction of the American Gold Eagle price, you're still only looking at $50 over that price. So tremendous, tremendous buys here. So that's why I'm giving it to you at the beginning of the program, so you can go count your change and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Okay. Spectacular deal, Melody.
It really is.
Yeah. You're buying, I mean, it's actually cheaper in wholesale.
No. I would never, you can't sell things at wholesale. So I just got a tremendous buy on some big volumes of gold. And there's a still above, well, my regular wholesale price would be, it's about right at wholesale.
Yeah.
It's right at wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Spectacular.
It really is. And you know, for those that are looking for, you know, large amounts and convert some of those paper dollars. That's losing your purchasing power.
Do it right now.
Yep. So, okay. Great deal.
A couple hours left in the day, and that's the end of it.
Yep.
All right.
What's next, Al?
I don't know. I got an article here from Phoenix Capital Research. Have central banks finally unleashed inflation? Globally, inflation is on the rise. On Monday, Spain reported a year-over-year 7.5% jump in its PPI reading, which is a measure of inflation. Mm-hmm. Spain is just the latest major economy to join the inflationary tide. Germany saw a recent spike in the PPI. In the U.S., inflation is now well above the Fed's target of 2%, having ripped over 3% higher in the last 6 months alone. This is much bigger than Trump or any single factor. After 8 years on low interest and trillions of dollars on QE spent, global central banks have finally unleashed inflation. The big problem is that with inflation is that, like ketchup in the bottle, it always takes longer to achieve than what you'd predict. Once it starts, you usually get more than you'd hoped for. This is the sort of environment in which the major market event could happen. Over $100 trillion in bonds are at risk of entering a bear market if inflation really takes hold. And while the odds are low that we get an actual crash, this environment is more conducive to black swan events than any other in the past 7 years. So from their perspective, this is... The sky is falling to a greater extent right now than it has at any time since 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. Do you agree that the central banks have unleashed inflation, Melody?
I believe we're absolutely. I mean, we're beginning to see all the little inflation markets tick up and, you know, in Europe and Asia and China. So absolutely. I mean, they suppressed it and by through their manipulation and the amount of bonds and everything. So again, it's going to the other side.
And it has to go there. It'll mean an increased, not only an increased inflation rate, it will mean an increased interest rate. They're going to have to raise interest rates on loans, what they're willing to pay, in order to get anybody to lend any money. There's got to be a positive return for people who have enough money to lend. If you don't allow them a positive return on, they say, all right, I've got $1 million to lend. Where am I going to lend it? I'm not going to lend it in this country if the interest rate is so low that I can't make anything. As inflation rates rise, the interest rate's going to have to more or less follow or exceed that. You've got to have some kind of return on your money, and if you don't have it, you'll lend it in some foreign country that pay a more reasonable rate of return. And this is literally, if inflation is going up, if that's a true factor, then it doesn't create an option to raise interest rates. It creates a necessity to raise interest rates unless you want to chase currency out of this country. People who have money, they're going to take it someplace else. They want to make a return on their dollar, and they're not going to lend it at a loss, at least not for long. So,
well, Janet Yellen today, she dropped a pretty strong hint today that an interest rate hike is on its way later this month. And she says while leaving just enough wiggle room in case conditions should change. You know, it's like, okay, what's going to change in 3 weeks? What are you anticipating? Something's going to change. I mean, come on, you're the Federal Reserve. You're the guys who create all these reports, and you don't know what 3 weeks is going to bring us. Are we that close to the edge that no one, you know, that something could happen?
Yeah.
And so she's expecting that. She's noted that the core inflation, let's take out food and energy, is at 1.7%. Well, we all know, even at their report, it's over 2% if you include the food and energy. And she also said that global economic risks had receded and believes that the Fed is not behind the curve on rates. And the markets really didn't really move or anything. Nobody really pays any attention. But the thing of it is, she came out today, but all week long, you had other Federal Reserve presidents you know, doing the gambit of media on your financial news programs. They were all out there touting a possible increase. So, I mean, they were prepping the markets before she came out today, which means to tell me the markets really aren't even paying any attention to Janet Yellen. I mean, she has absolutely...
No, I think that's I think that's the truth of the matter.
Well, it is.
I think the Federal Reserve is in danger right now of becoming irrelevant.
Absolutely.
You know, it used to be they could control the economy to a significant degree by adjusting the interest rate or by adjusting the supply of money. Well, if they can't really adjust the interest rate in a meaningful sense anymore, because if they raise interest rates to supposedly slow the economy, higher interest rates will attract more foreign capital to come in. They wind up increasing the currency supply in this country, which in theory will accelerate the economy. And if they impose lower interest rates to, in theory, amp up the economy and accelerate the economy, if they have lower interest rates, and that's what they've been doing for the last 7-8 years, they've had near zero interest rates, the net effect has been to drive capital out of the country. It's gone off. It sparked a third world boom there for a couple of years. It left the United States. Said, this is crazy. I'm not going to invest my money here in the United States. I'll send it over to Uganda or someplace where I can get a reasonable rate of return on my investment. So my point is their ability to control the economy with interest rates is no longer obvious. They can't control the currency supply very easily. It goes up and down because we live in a global world. We have the internet and we have a digital currency which can travel around the world at the speed of light on the internet. Go anywhere it wants. You can, if you've got $1 million to invest, where do you want to invest it? Pick a country. And you can pick a country right now, and 15 minutes from now, you can pick another country and move it on to a second country. And 15 minutes later, you can move it to a third country. Which who's paying the highest interest rates? There is, insofar as it used to be that the monetary supply in this country was pretty much fixed when we had gold and silver because people didn't know it was slow to move. It's not like digital. You can't just take gold and say, I'm going to invest it in England today and Italy tomorrow and China the day after that. You can't move the gold that fast. There were just physical limitations because you had a physical currency. That isn't necessarily a bad thing compared to the digital. But the gold can't move rapidly, and on top of which, it was pretty much isolated in this country by the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. We couldn't really change the currency supply dramatically. If they lowered the interest rate and you had gold and silver to lend, you had two choices. You either had to just sit on it and do nothing or lend it at the lower interest rate. You couldn't send it out of the country easily. It couldn't be done easily. It could be done, but not easily. Today, the oceans don't count for anything. They lower the interest rate, currency flees. So the point I'm just trying to get to is that the Federal Reserve has become increasingly irrelevant. It's not really in control anymore. And if it's not really in control, why do we need it? You know, the only thing the Federal Reserve does is print little green pieces of paper or authorize digital currency. Well, anybody can do that. This is no enormous skill, huh? Their only product are the green pieces of paper and the digital dollars. That could be done without the Federal Reserve. So I would imagine that Janet Yellen and the rest of them are fighting to be at least perceived as relevant. Look, we're going to make a prediction. Well, yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I won't say, you know, it's not exactly true that no one cares but what Janet Yellen has to say. But it does not. She does not enjoy the same kind of authority that was seen by Alan Greenspan, for example. He carried a different weight, a different level of authority and gravitas, in part because the system had not yet gone digital to the same degree it is right now, and it was not circling the globe with the speed of light, and no one could understand what Greenspan was saying anyway. It was like listening to a some sort of a prophet in the Greek prophetess, a soothsayer, whatever it is. He would mumble in the world. Oh my God, Greenspan just mumbled. But in any case, point. Federal Reserve is fighting for relevance, in my opinion. And, you know, there's another point. The Federal Reserve really is caught in a situation where it has to work in a way its fundamental interests are contrary to the interests of the government of the United States. They're not marching in lockstep. Ultimately, the Federal Reserve would like its dollars. I believe the Federal Reserve, being a supplier, ultimate creditor, in a sense, they would like deflation. They say, yay, our dollars are worth more. We lent out $1 million, and thanks to deflation, they're going to have to pay us back $1.5 million. Central banks should want, in their heart of hearts, they should want deflation. The federal government should want, in its heart of hearts, inflation. They want to be able to pay off their debts with cheaper dollars. Creditors want deflation. Borrowers want inflation. Government's the biggest borrower, biggest debtor in the world. It wants inflation. It needs inflation. And we haven't. We're only now just beginning to catch up on inflation again for the first time in several years. That it's becoming, inflation is becoming perhaps significant. Good for the government, not good for the Federal Reserve. And the point is that the two of them aren't even working together anymore. Federal Reserve has become, is increasingly irrelevant. I won't say it is irrelevant. I'm not to say that, but it's become increasingly irrelevant. And it wants, ultimately, its dollars to be worth more. Because if inflation continues, we've lost 95% of the dollar's value over the course of the last, people will point all the way back to something like 1913, 1914, the onset of the Federal Reserve. But the truth is, we lost 96% of the money. Almost all of it has disappeared since 1971, when we went off the gold, completely off the gold standard. That's when the dollar, people point back to 1914. Yeah, we lost 97, 98% of the dollar. Yeah, but most of that was all lost, really, since 1971. That can't be good for the Federal Reserve. As the dollar becomes worth less and less and less, pretty soon the Federal Reserve is printing a dollar that everyone knows is essentially worthless. That can't be good for the Federal Reserve. What do we need them for? To print worthless pieces of paper? They can't deal with inflation forever. They need some deflation. Government can't stand deflation. So we should see a conflict before long. Between a real contest between the Federal Reserve and the federal government. We're also going to see some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
That's true.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. You know, one of the things that's interesting, we're talking to Melody and I, we're talking about it just now. We talk about robots on this program from time to time and what's happening in the digital world and how it's hard to look at this and not be a little bit afraid. All right? What's happening with robots? How long can people keep their jobs in a world of robots? And what's going to happen if we don't have jobs? Are we going to have to tax the robots so high that we can afford to just kick back and relax? We'll all be on welfare and the robots will do all the work? Is this the panacea that people had hoped for, the utopia that the world has hoped for years? Or people in positions of power realize that most of us don't have jobs and we aren't really necessary. Is somebody going to sit back and say, you know, we really don't need those people? And what crossed my mind is that robots for adults are a little bit like dinosaurs for kids. You know, kids, they just love dinosaurs. Look, there's a Tyrannosaurus, a Brontosaurus, and the rest of it. For some reason, kids are fascinated, and they've been fascinated with dinosaurs since I was a kid. I was fascinated with dinosaurs. Well, now I'm not fascinated with dinosaurs, but I am fascinated with robots. And it's kind of something, and there's a similarity there. You know, and maybe it's because they are both a little bit scary on one level. Here's an article from Technocracy News. It says, experts warn hacked robots could attack humans, burgle homes. Get that? The next burglar, the next break into your house might not be an illegal alien. It might be a robot. All right? Another short-sighted OG moment where flip-side inventions turn dark. Yes, robots can be hacked and remotely controlled against you because they are connected to the Internet of Things. Everything is hackable, and people with bad intentions will always be around to do so. Now, that's the main point of the story, and it's the point we talk about on a regular basis. You get into this digital age, and nobody's really in control. You cannot depend on digits to protect you. They can be hacked by people without even a crowbar or a brick to break through your window. They can hack their way into your property. Researchers claim robots could poison family members and pets by mixing toxic substances with food or drinks. There've already been serious accidents, including a bride-to-be who was crushed to death by a robot just 2 weeks before she was due to marry the love of her life. A robot cannon killed soldiers and killed 9 soldiers and seriously wounded 14 others in South Africa. This goes all the way back to 2007. But researchers at IoActive, who famously revealed how to hack a Jeep remotely while it was zooming along at high speed. In other words, you're riding in the Jeep. The Jeep is running along at high speed, and they figured out how to hack into the Jeep and make it turn right or left or speed up or slow down, regardless of what the driver has to say. All right, they can hack into Jeeps. If they can hack into Jeeps, they can presumably hack into your Chrysler, into your Ford, into your Tesla. And it's not hard. During the past 6 months, IoActive researchers tested mobile applications, robot operating systems, firmware, images, and other software in order to identify the flaws in several robots that are available to buy right now. And by these, this isn't Buck Rogers. This is happening now. You can not only get a robot, you can get a robot that's flawed and hackable by people outside. All right, they found several of the robots could be hacked remotely. Hacked robots are more dangerous than hacked computers because of the addition of arms, legs, or wheels could cause serious harm. And they're right. You know, it's one thing to hack into my computer and you can destroy my data. But if you hack into something that already is mobile and able to move around, what are we going to do? I know we're going to keep on producing more robots. And I don't see any sign that anyone is going to stop producing hackers. We're going to have more hackers and more hackers, and it is not at all clear that the people running the internet and, you know, this digital world that we're living in, I don't think they can stop the hackers. I think the hackers are smarter than the people that are manufacturing these products, in part, and I've said it a bunch of times, but in part because if you're going to deal with anything that's plugged into the internet, it has to be fairly simple, right? For it to be conveniently controlled by the internet or communicated by the internet, it's got to be available to millions of people, billions of people. I don't see how you can make things available to billions of people and at the same time protect security. I don't think it can be done. If you were making it available to 5 people or 10 people, yeah, you can tighten things up enough where only those 5 can get in. But as soon as you open the doors and you let everybody in this thing, you have to let the hackers come along. And what's the point to all this? The point is your wealth, if it's stored in a digital format, is going to be vulnerable. And it's going to stay vulnerable as long as you keep it in a digital format. Which is another reason to look back and say, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea to get some tangible physical gold and silver that I can keep in a shoebox, right? Stick it up on the shelf in the closet rather than keep it in, which if somebody wants to steal it, they've got to break in and find it. Rather than sit at their desk with a cup of coffee and a TV dinner and try to hack in with their computer. They've actually got to go to the trouble of coming to the house to try to capture your gold. There's no absolutely safe way to store your wealth. You know, it's like, I believe it was Willie Sutton, I think that was the name of a well-known thief, bank robber during the Great Depression. And they asked him, why do you rob banks? He says, that's where the money is. Well, anytime you concentrate your wealth in a single location, all right, some people, if they can find where that location is, they will always be interested in stealing your wealth. It becomes a question of what is more easily stolen. And right now, the theft of choice is digital. You can steal things and people may not even know they're gone for weeks. You can steal a little today, a little tomorrow, and blah, blah, blah. And my point is, again, is digital is not necessarily the panacea that some people suppose. So, Ability, are you storing your wealth in a digital format?
I do very little on the computer. I mean, once in a while I'll buy things, and whatever I do, as I was telling you before we started the program today, I never get what I wanted or what I thought I ordered, but I do very little on the internet. So no, I wouldn't. And it amazes me how people want to buy thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of gold and silver online. You just lose all your privacy, all your safety, your security. People who buy these gold accounts and so forth online, who do any transactions online, it's going to be one of the and there isn't anything that's safe. And I think what happens as an individual, perhaps we don't or perhaps we were not affected at any one point in time. Yeah, no one stole my identity, no one's used my credit cards, no one's messed with my bank account. And it just lures you into a feeling of safety and security that something hasn't happened, so nothing will happen. And that's what's happened to this country. I mean, you know, yeah, we've had some bad days, but really? Anything like the Depression? The real, you know, the Depression in 29, things that happened. We've had it fairly good. And, you know, we look at other countries and how they react to certain things. Well, they're used to it. It perhaps has happened in their, you know, if you have an 80-year-old person, it's probably happened in their lifetime where they have financial problems and, you know, maybe two times in their lifetime, at least once. But here in the States, you know, we've been blessed.
You know, the other thing about the digital is that the hackers are not the only people you have to worry about who might actually liberate your wealth. All right? You can also worry about the banks themselves. You can worry about the government itself. When you store your wealth digitally, it is effective. It's, if there is reason where government says, gee, we really need the money, and here's a note, and this will be worth something, you'll be able to redeem this in 5 or 10 years, but right now we need your money for Uncle Sam or whatever. There are more than a few thieves in the world, and not all of them are outside of government. So you gotta, you know, some people are going to look at that warning and think that's a little bit ridiculous. Other people understand that maybe we can't trust the government. Can they take our wealth out of our bank, out of our digital bank accounts? It's easy. I guarantee you the government, all they have to do is pass a little act, and next thing you know, bang, they can make things disappear legally. It's like civil asset forfeiture. It's all legal. Right? It's theft. That's what it amounts to, but it's legal. Legalized theft. We live in a strange world, and there's no way of, there's no guarantee, all right? And you have to do the best you can with what you've got. And you have to think about the threats that are potentially out there, and you have to do the best you can to avoid those thefts. And right at the moment, digital seems to be the way thieves are going. It's not just that the robots are replacing our regular jobs. The digital, the computer, and the rest of it is replacing a lot of the thieves in this world. You used to have people who actually broke in a window. Now they don't bother. I'm exaggerating. I'm exaggerating to explore a point, not even to make a point, but to explore one. But what happened to the, you know, what happened to the good old-fashioned thieves, Melody, that used to pass on this technique, how to break into a house from father to son? The mafia, our family, they are being destroyed by digital vulnerabilities in our.
I wonder if we'll have to get a separate weapon for our homes.
We have virus protection. All right, that's supposedly going to protect us, but it doesn't really. If somebody wants to break into your...
I'm talking about if that robot comes into your home. I mean, is your regular protection going to work, or are you going to have to get a special robot?
Robots and the anti-robots. I'm thinking they're going to have a female robot to seduce the male robot that breaks in. Right, you got a bad male robot breaking in. You're going to have a really good-looking female robot to seduce him into forgetting robbery on his mind and make him think about something else.
We'll just have a robot dog, Al.
Maybe. Yeah, we could have a... they do. All right? They already have robot dogs in the sense that you can go knock on a door and there's a machine inside that makes a dog... it sounds like a barking dog. Ruff, 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 ruff. It's already been around. It's been around for years. Right? We have replaced Fido. Fido, our faithful, our best friend, man's best friend, is now perhaps a robot. We're getting rid of the dogs, and I said, wait a second, throw me a bone. No, I've got to take care of my robot. My heart belongs to the robot. Oh, interesting. Here's Wendy's. They're doing the same thing. Wendy's is going to install 1,000 self-ordering kiosks with the impending minimum wage increases. And this is an important point. These minimum wage increases have consequences, and they help to drive employers to hire robots. Robot might not make sense if somebody's making $10 an hour. It might make great sense if people are making $15 an hour. All right, the higher we raise the minimum wage, let's raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour and we can all live large. If we raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour, most of us will wind up being unemployed. And I don't know where that goes. Will the government just, can the government put us all on welfare? I don't know, maybe they can. Can we survive that way? Can we live all on welfare? Is that what we all want in the world? Don't have to work anymore? Really?
There are,
I mean, most people most people like to work, really. They complain about it. The employers complain about the employees complain about the employers, but in the end, you know, it's a relationship that everybody kind of likes, and they must, because if they didn't, there wouldn't be so much of it. People wouldn't put up with as much as they do, probably, if they didn't say, well, I kind of like my job. I hate to admit it, but you know, I really like my job. What are we going to do when the robots replace our work? Can we survive as people without jobs, without something to do, something to give our life meaning rather than our capacity to eat steak and eggs or birthday cake or whatever? What's going to give us a sense of meaning when we don't have to work? It might be art. You know, it might be research, it might be a bunch of things, but the truth is most people can't do the intellectual things that give some people a lot of satisfaction. What are they going to do? I don't know, but in any case, Wendy's is, with the impending minimum wage increase, quick serve restaurants are looking for innovative ways to cut corners and enter self-ordering kiosks. Wendy's is the latest food chain to announce its implementation of. There'll be 1,000 new Wendy franchise stores. We'll be installing these technologies in order to cut labor costs. According to the Columbus Dispatch, the typical store will have at least 3 kiosks, and the brand is focusing on high-volume locations. They think this will increase sales among younger generation. The younger generation like the idea of dealing with robots. We're talking about kids liking dinosaurs when I was a kid, and most, I think, even up until today. But kids also like robots. They think they're cool. They don't understand robots may be taking daddy's job. That means no more ice cream for you, sonny. All right? Daddy can't afford ice cream because he's been replaced by a robot. They say they're also trying to enhance the customer experience. This is Wendy's talking. Younger customers prefer to use the kiosk, and it will help alleviate long lines at peak hours. Yeah, it's going to help eliminate labor is what it's going to help eliminate. And I don't blame them. The economic necessity of eliminating labor. You know, what about Obamacare? This has imposed certain restrictions on employers where they have to pay extra fees and fines and whatever in order to support their employees' access to Obamacare. But if they have robots, they don't have to carry Obamacare. Now what? Take another break. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Tell me again. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article. We talked a little bit. We just touched on Obamacare and the consequences.
I wanted to say something now.
You want to say something?
Yes. I just want to remind the listeners, for those of you who are calling in on this special, our lines got a little clogged up, so I'd appreciate if you could, you know, wait between, you know, 5 Eastern time and 5:30 Eastern time, or just leave your name and number and we can give you a call back.
No worries. Give us another 15, 20 minutes.
Or leave a message and we can get right back to you and fit you in between the other calls. And also, I thought this was a funny. It's Friday, funny Friday. Well, during the break, I saw this picture and a caption to this picture. It's a picture of a giraffe. And he's just like he's looking into a camera. You know how, you know, animals get close to the camera, their nose gets big and their body gets a little bit smaller. Well, this is a picture of the giraffe doing that. And the caption is, "Why are millions watching this giraffe do nothing?" And I said, "Now, that pretty much sums it up for the people of this country. You know, for years we called them sheeple, and now they're just online watching a giraffe do nothing. Millions of people are watching a giraffe do nothing." So I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, I know. It's kind of disturbing on one level.
Just,
I mean,
yes.
And how
I mean,
many
if you're going to watch a giraffe, watch
them
doing something. You know, yeah, watch them have give birth, watch them do something, but doing nothing? No, So you have millions of people doing nothing, watching a giraffe do nothing. And I just told Al, that just kind of sums it up. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just the Fiscal Times has a report, and its headline is "Boehner started laughing when Republicans vowed to replace Obamacare." Former House Speaker John Boehner, Republican Ohio, has been watching the controversy over health care. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The crybaby.
Crying John. He's been watching the controversy over health care play out from the sidelines, and he understands better than most how hard it is to forge a compromise within his party, even under the best of circumstances. In other words, he's saying healthcare is not, Obamacare is not going to be repealed because of infighting among the Republicans. It's not a fight between the Democrats and the Republicans. He's saying, look, the Republicans won't be able to get their act together, and they're not going to repeal Obamacare anytime soon. Boehner is no fan of President Donald Trump, and declared in last December that the election campaign had been the most bizarre political year we've seen in 100 years. In the new Trumpian political era, Boehner is persona non grata among many Republicans he once led. During the healthcare conference in Orlando, Florida, the savvy chain-smoking veteran lawmaker, oh, that's good at a healthcare conference, at a chain-smoking lawmaker at a healthcare conference, that makes a lot of sense to me. With a year around 10, declared that repeal and replacement of Obamacare are not going to happen. Boehner said most of the framework for the Affordable Care Act will survive, adding that Republicans never agree on health care. Boehner today dismissed Speaker Ryan and Trump's earlier upbeat predictions that their replacement plan would sail through Congress as just happy talk. Boehner says it's just happy talk. He said, I started laughing. Republicans never agree on health care. So it's an interesting point, and I don't doubt that there's a certain amount of truth to it. Mm-hmm. The problem with, do you think we're going to get rid of Obamacare, Melody?
No. No, I don't. And I talked to a little bit about it yesterday. Rand Paul was yelling up on the Hill because he's blocked from viewing it. They pretty much have it under house and lock and key. And what people don't understand is, yes, health insurance costs were high prior to Obamacare. They just went higher with Obamacare. You have to get to the point, why are costs so high to begin with? It wasn't cheap prior to. And so, and selling it across lines, how much competition are you going to receive to where you would have a significant drop in premium? How much are the, do you think premiums are going to drop 80%? Do you think premiums are going to drop 100? You know, no. Will they drop 10%? Maybe. So you have to put it all in perspective and look at how much change are we actually going to see. If premiums drop a lot, because that's what everyone is complaining about, the premiums. If they drop a lot, you have to take something away from it. And I don't think just making it competitive across state lines is going to drop it enough to make any real big differences. And one example is the EpiPen. Everybody heard about, oh my gosh, it went from $45 to $700. And, you know, what a terrible thing, drop that cost. So they did drop it. They dropped it to $300. So that's a lot better than $700. But you know what? It was selling for $45.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, what we'll see with the same thing with Obamacare. You're going to see it drop. It's not going to be anything near costs or what have to be addressed. What, and it again, it goes back to everything else. Sure, there's an amount of supply and demand and so forth and whatnot, and you know, things can be arranged where you know doctors get paid, and you got to take the corruption out of it. You should take stockholders out of it, but you know, there's another industry that's so corrupt, and we have a currency that has no value, and you're going to continue to see prices rise. So again, so you know, the demographics, you put all of these things together, how much change can we really see coming out of Obamacare?
Well, that's the truth of the matter. Ultimately, if you want to change the cost of health care, you've got to reduce the cost of health care.
Yes.
You can't just sit back and say, I've got a new insurance policy and you won't have to pay anything, Melody. It'll be free for you. Well, it isn't going to be free for somebody. If you want to reduce the overall cost of health care, you must actually reduce, if you want to reduce the overall cost of health care insurance, you must actually reduce the overall cost of health care. You can't just shift it around and say, I know, we'll give some people free health care and we'll give higher taxes to some other people. It's going to make people angry. If you want to change the reduce the cost of health care insurance, you have to reduce the cost of health care. And that means you have to stop restricting the supply of doctors. Mm-hmm. You're going to actually, and it may be that doctors are going to be replaced with robots. There's already talk about that, where, and I don't doubt that it's already happening. In some degree, it is. You can analyze, you can
surgeries.
Your own, well, I don't know about surgery.
No, I actually saw an article where they're going to have, where you could have a robot actually do surgery, and he will be far more fine-tuned than any doctor can be.
Well, it might be.
Yeah.
It might be an improvement, but the only way, you're going to have to cut costs. For example, right now there are so many facilities on the internet where you can actually start to diagnose your own disease. it's not impossible to get a pretty good diagnosis. Say, oh, something's been bothering me. Well, what is it? Can you describe it? If you're capable, or your parents are capable, or somebody in the house is capable, well, let's look on the internet. Let's Google it and see what happens. You may be able to diagnose your own disease. I know it's dangerous.
But that's also dangerous.
Oh, I agree. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go to quacks. Mm-hmm. All right? That's also dangerous. Show me an option that is not potentially dangerous. The point is that to some degree, robots are already moving into this. And to some degree, doctors are feeling the pinch. And they're going to have to feel more of a pinch if we're going to actually reduce the cost of healthcare insurance. We've got to cut down prices. The money that's paid doctors, hospitals, nurses has to be cut down. And we have to increase the supply of doctors. It's like lawyers. Right? I've argued for years, and I published a magazine that was critical of lawyers. But I've argued for years what the country needs is more lawyers. Why? Because it will increase the supply. Then the price will go down. There will be lawyers who will actually deal with problems for people who don't have much money. As long as the Bar Association maintains a limit on who can practice law, guess what? They are maintaining a limit on how much money you can make as a lawyer. And I don't mean a top limit. I mean a bottom limit. You can make a decent income. Lawyers are not doing as well today as they did maybe 10, 15 years ago on average. But just the same, they should be able to get by.
That's the same reason people go online and they do what they find what they need to do. So, but yeah, healthcare. And plus there's so many people that didn't, and this is true, there's so many people who didn't have health care, they do now. Oh, they're gonna scream, fight, if they get pulled off because they can't afford it.
I don't have much. If they have enough energy to scream and fight, Melody, I don't think they needed health care in the first place.
But they're
healthy enough for that. They don't need health care.
Possibly, they are. And then they make those of us who, and again, it's back to that entitlement mentality. And
yeah,
it's back to the,
But it's ultimately back to, why do we have the entitlement? Because they can't afford it on their own. Why can't they afford it on their own? Because the doctors are making more money, and the hospitals are making more money, and the nurses are making more money than we can ultimately justify if we're going to provide health care to all the people in the country. The solution to the problem is you're going to have to cut the income of a lot of doctors, nurses, and hospitals. Right, that's what you want to do, fine. But until you do that, probably not. So what are we going to do? What will happen, Melody? It's an example. It's a leaf in the breeze to illustrate a point. The only way we're going to get through this, probably, is we're going to have some sort of a collapse. Where doctors are suddenly willing to work. If you got $15, the doctor will take you. I'm going to do something for you for $15.
He'll take your 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle.
Maybe he'll take whatever he can get.
Your Silver Eagle.
And we, in that context, we may see the medical establishment kind of collapse a little bit, and all of a sudden become a little more humble and glad to have anybody, and maybe making house calls again. I can remember when I was a kid, doctors used to make house calls. I remember Dr. Gladstone, and I lived in a little town called Crystal Lake, Illinois, and McHenry, Illinois was, 15, 20 miles away. Dr. Gladstone would come to our home. I remember it happening when I was a kid. We got tonsillitis every winter, and Dr. Gladstone, he'd drive down. How incredible is that? Medicine was affordable. Now it's not affordable. But it may be, we'll see a day in the future
where
doctors will once again.
We had a dollar that had some value.
That's true. Back then we had
it. That's what it was. And that's what has to be fixed in order for everything else to be fixed. And in order for that to be fixed, it's either going to have to somehow, some way be fixed intentionally and addressed, or it will be addressed after the collapse.
Yeah. That's the point.
The system will be reset. We just don't know if it will be, if they'll be proactive, or it will be by need.
By Black Swan events, Swan. If you want to sit down and do what's necessary,
then later.
Take the medicine. Here we have medicine for you. You're not going to necessarily like it, but you can take the medicine, and we might skate around the problems that are lurking and waiting for us, or we can sit back and say, yay! You know, the stock markets are hitting record highs and everything's great, and sooner or later, they're not going to be great just because the fundamentals aren't great. Again, just this idea about if you want more affordable health care, you have to have more doctors. And if you have more doctors, the doctor's income is going to fall. Yeah, this is just a certain amount of fundamentals. What do you want? And the government says, no, we don't have to deal with the fundamentals. We don't have to deal with supply and demand. We will deal with taxes and make medical care affordable by taxing John to pay for, you know, Bill's medical care. No, we need to make medical care affordable for everybody. And that won't be easily done, but it means we have to open up licensing procedures and let a lot of people practice medicine. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that nurses could do that doctors are doing right now. They could be allowed.
Well, they do have
maintain the regulation.
They do have physician assistants.
Hmm.
You know, that are nurses and
mostly those are those accountants, Melody? Are they people actually they count the aspirin pills, the physician's assistants?
No, they do a little
charge bit. People $15 for them, or are they that actually do medical?
They actually do medical.
Oh, huh.
They actually do medical.
Well, soon we'll have a physician's assistant who is a robot, perhaps. and once that starts, it won't be too long before the physician may be the robot's assistant. We live in interesting times. They are strange, unpredictable. You can kind of see the problems, but it's still bewildering. You look at them and you say, what the heck are we going to do with these things? And it's not, the answers are not obvious. They're not apparent. You know, it's like being replaced by a robot. What do you do if you don't have a job? Can the average person get by and be comfortable just living without working? And the answer is maybe yes. I've never been able to do it. All right? I've always enjoyed my work. I really have. I really have enjoyed work all my life, I don't want to be replaced by a robot where I've got nothing left to do but sit on the rocking chair.
If I'm replaced, I don't want it to be by a robot. I mean, that's kind of like a shot, in the, you know.
Yeah, well, you can do better than that. Can't you replace me with? All right.
Yeah.
Somebody working for $5 an hour. I get
find
a living person to replace me. No, not a machine. We're out of time. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Hope you'll tune in then and have a good weekend. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.